Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Holy Father, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify you. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a helper. We hear from you this night. We hear from you. Thank you that you help us to understand. The Holy Spirit is our great helper. Help us to where in our minds, ideas of man, traditions, certain points of view, but we only hear from you, that we can hear from you, only from you, and that your word gives us testimony and it matures us day by day. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I speak it. Amen. Okay, last time, on Thursday, I was in our study series, God is My Source. But on today's title, we'll be seeing part two, using Jesus' faith in us will change the adverse circumstances in our lives. I don't know how many of you perhaps have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 contrary circumstances against you. Already just having one, we don't like it already. To me, I don't like having a single one. And sometimes 1, 2 get stuck on me. But I just don't like any of them. Okay, so one of the things that we're going to be reviewing is that the faith that you have and I have is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as your faith, my faith, etc. Yes, in the sense that we're speaking that we use the faith that we have. I use the faith and you use your faith given to us. But in this moment, the Holy Spirit is reminding me of a few things. So let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, how many? One Lord. Then, one faith. How many? One faith. One baptism. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. How many faiths? One. Which faith? The faith of Jesus in us. One faith. One Lord. One baptism. Or in disorder, one Lord, one faith. Notice how it doesn't say 20 faiths. It's just one faith. Which faith? The Lord Jesus Christ. In our lives. And that faith is the one that we use, but we always use it with His help. Of course, you have to respond to this. God will not obligate you. But to me, it's much easier to just use that faith that I have when I know that it's Jesus' in me. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And from there, we're going to take off. You know, if you remember traveling on an airplane, airplane starts taxiing, and then it reaches its takeoff point. And when you board it, you wait until it fills up. Then from there, taxi, and then takes off. Sometimes you could take up to half an hour by the time that you get in till you take off. So, 1 Corinthians 4. So let's say we're going to go step by step, and then we're going to take off. Say, 4, verse 6 and 7. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may lean in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. Now, go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 2. But we haven't renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we don't want to handle the word of God deceitfully. So what do we do? Now, 1 Corinthians 4:6, as we saw there, we're going to see that not to think more than what is written. We're not going to go beyond. But what is written. And that's how we'll learn to use that faith. The majority of Christians, first of all, there is a great segment in the body of Christ, millions of Christians, do not understand a thing of faith. And then, from that group, from those millions of Christians, perhaps there's another hundreds of thousands of Christians in the area. Now, I'm going to speak in our area of faith, that I realized through the years that they don't 100% understand about faith. When you start saying that it's your faith, as in your faith, yeah, your faith, it's fine. But you understand that when I say your faith, you know that it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't understand that, then you're going to get into some problems. And many people get in problems because of that. And they're doing things and saying, well, Pastor, I don't know why things don't go well for me. Well, why? And then they take out this giant list like this. This is a good notice that I'll give you right now, but they'll even check mark it. Look, right here. I pray. I go to church. I tithe. I give offering. I pray in tongues. I arrive early. I praise and I worship with all my heart. I deliver myself. And you know what happens? And I've told everyone the same thing when they come to me with a list. Well, not, I don't say that, I'm exaggerating when I say they come with a list, but they tell you. And I say, that's your issue. You're putting your trust and your sights in what you do. And then, what do you think that the next question is? What do you think the next question is when I tell them that? No, you don't know? No. No, the next question is, oh, so we don't have to do this. Oh, so I don't have to do this. You see, that's the issue. Everything that you do should be brought up, the human spirit, by the love of God. And everything that you do is converted from I have to I want to. Simple as that. And then there are those who tell me, well, there's sometimes where I don't feel like doing it. They confuse the I feel with I want to. Hold on, you're confusing two completely different things. There are sometimes, for example, so perhaps you had a very long work day. You woke up very early, then you worked all day, and then perhaps you were in the sun, or you saw how as Tintan says, how nice and cool the climate is, especially in the mornings. And then back then at five, you could see the sun, but now you have to wait till 5:30. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. It could be the middle of winter or summer. Around 8 o'clock is when I wake up, Pastor. But going back, for example, let's say you had a very difficult day working all day. had maybe an issue here, your car, at your kid, this and that. Yeah. Well, it's normal. Well, man, I don't want to go to church. But I want to go to church, but I don't feel like. Oh, yeah, it's normal. Your body says, oh, we'll lie down here on the couch, but don't confuse that. But I'm backwards. You say, oh, man, I'm tired, but I want to go. I want to go. Thank you, Father. And then you start praising the Lord. And, well, you know, it'll just be a while. You know, glory to God. You are my strength. You see the difference. But you want to. You want to do it. But it's born out of a relationship with God. Amen. It's born out, which is why what I said on Sunday, not during the teaching, what I said here in church, before the teaching, that some of you were waiting on the internet, where some told me I was refreshing it and nothing happened, and we entered a little late. I didn't share why. But it's true, which is why it's important to pray. Because if you don't even feel like you don't want to, nothing interests you, then this is where the plan of God comes in. Amen. Because perhaps you're not in the spot that where you... That's how it is. Which is why you have to be where God calls you. But for God to tell you, you have to spend time with Him. And pray and fall in love with Him. Then God will speak to you. And when God tells you it's there, doesn't matter if, oh, well, I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that. If I told you I don't agree with the culture from here, from Douglas, I don't even like it. But when you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord, you understand that He's your Lord, then you submit to Him. Did you know that that's what the word slave is? Let me share that with you so you can learn to use your faith. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Notice how it shares here. 1 Peter, Simon Peter. Some of them share it like that. Read it like that. Oh, Simon Peter, like in the ghetto. Simon Peter. Like, I agree, Peter. Oh, no, it's not talking like that. Then the ghetto wants to start getting out of you. Simon Peter. A bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice that word bondservant or servant simplified. Well, now, King James Version. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. But you know that word servant comes from the Greek slave. I think we have a version in Spanish that perhaps shares it in as the word slave. Let's see, there we go. Which is New Living Translation? This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave, which is better translated from the word servant. And I don't know if you knew, I don't know if you like history. I like history. I don't like the history of little things here of YouTube. No. I like to study it correctly. Did you know that the slaves, well, many characters, one of the characteristics of a slave is they did not have an opinion. They could not say, well, I think, or no, the slave did not have free will or a vote or a voice. Your opinion, the opinion of a slave did not matter. No, it didn't matter. Oh, it's so hot out. How humid. I was in Louisiana and man, very beautiful, very green, but you've been there, Gustavo, right? Man, it is. You barely get out of the car and you start sweating. Very green and beautiful. You don't see brown dirt. You don't see it. Grass is this tall. They don't even know what brown dirt is. They see it and they're like, what is this? Very humid, and of course when you're used to it, yeah. But guess what? I was seeing some places there. What were those houses called? Where they had slaves? The plantations. Some of them are museums and this and that. Man, the humility that there was. Slaves had to do it, but they had to deal with it. Although they came from Africa, very similar. But what I'm saying is, it didn't matter. I didn't sleep, boss, because of the heat. Hey, can you give me a chance to wake up at 9? No, forget it. It's not like here in Douglas. Over there was a different time. Have you ever come here at 6 or 7 in the morning? It looks like a ghost town. But did you say, well, what happened here? Glory to God. I remember when I came from Mesa years ago. And I was so used to where at 5 in the morning, freeway was full of cars already, lights and everything, people already working. When I came here, I thought, what happened here? People told me, until someone told me, well, that's how it is here, Pastor. Then you'll get used to it. You'll get used to it after a while. Well, I realized it. Now, notice that word. That's what every Christian should be. You see that in the majority of Christians? An attitude of Jesus is their Lord, and they're going to do what God tells them, regardless if you like it, if you agree. You see, well, traveling, going to many different churches. Look, it was one of the things that I heard the most. It was always, I would meet people, faith partners of the ministry, and it, you know, you could tell that they're learning from me. But then they say, oh yeah, but I don't like this, and I don't like what the pastor says, and this is, and I don't like this leader. I don't like their way of being. I don't like this and that. I don't like. And I always told them, you know what? First of all, shh. Shut your mouth. Because they were faith partners of the ministry, and so what are they learning from me? I never taught them to say that. I told them. Second of all, pray. But truly pray. Don't just be, tell me, Father, yes or no. And then you go as your fellow brother in Christ, just as carnal as you, hey, so should I get out or not? Because here no one gives a chance here. And no, pray. Ask the Lord, I would tell them. Don't ask people who don't even matter. You're gonna ask another carnal person, just as carnal as you. Amen. Truly pray. Because I'll tell you one thing. Well, I want to go to a church where it's perfect. The moment that you'll arrive there, you're going to ruin it. It'll stop being perfect because you arrived there. And then later, it's because of this. That's how carnal people are. That's how they are. Because they never hear the voice of God. They always hear their feelings, their five senses. So pray. I'll give you a good dose here. A good example. If you truly want to hear from God, fast for three days and three nights. Fasting, I already lost to some of you. Well, can't we just do it with just the prayer? No, in fasting, you'll submit your flesh. Drink only water. Nothing's going to happen to you. 3 days. Maybe perhaps juice, cheese, coffee, that's it. Perhaps a refreshment here with a little bit of sugar. Something like that. A tea. And in the afternoon, perhaps some fruit. That's it. After 3 days, whew, you're going to come out very spiritually. You'll know exactly what to do. And with a small little waist, even Talia would be envious. Hallelujah. So, continuing. First Corinthians 4. Glory to God. We read 6 and 7. First Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. That none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Notice verse 7, New International Version, and then the New Living Translation. So New International Version. For who makes you different from anyone else. What do you have that you did not receive? And I'll answer the first question. What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have? Faith. Because faith is a gift, but you haven't received it. You think that they're dead works. No, no, Pastor Wolf. Very simple. Then use what you have. And I'll tell you how right now. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? As you did not. What is given to you? A gift. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. So why do you boast about your faith and this and that and by my faith, and you're using faith as if it's just a magic wand instead of using it as a lifestyle? Can you see it there? Now, New Living Translation. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if everything you have is from God, why do you boast as though it were not a gift? And many are like that. Yeah, why do you boast? It's the faith of God and of Christ in you. It's Jesus. Another person once told me, oh, faith failed me, brother. How did faith fail you? And he started telling me, oh, well, I was believing God for like this and this and that, and faith failed me. No, that's impossible. Faith never fails. Because it's the faith of Jesus. When you think that faith fails, it's because you think that it's your faith. But I told you, I think in School of Faith that I gave about 4 years ago, I gave a good point like that. You don't produce anything. If it weren't for Jesus Christ in you, you don't produce anything. So how do you use it? I'll go there right now. Galatians 2. Galatians 2:16, 2:20. Well, Galatians 2:16 first. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Notice. But by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read from there. By the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. That faith of Jesus Christ, where is it? In you. Because you're one with Him. And then continue reading. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. I'm going to focus on this. To be justified by the faith of Christ. By the faith of Christ. Yeah, it's your faith in the sense that you use that faith. But that's the issue. If you stay with my faith, my faith, my faith, and later you start saying, I'm going to use my faith and my faith, and I'm going to do it with my faith. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get tired. Because people, oh, I'm confessing the word, Pastor, and nothing happens. Because you're thinking that if I confess the word, just the more I can, one way or another, God will hear me. And I'll tire Him out. I'm gonna annoy Him with so much confessing. And boom, God is going to do something. That's how they think. It doesn't work like that. So we shouldn't confess? Of course. I never said not to. But it's born out of your heart. As to say, you don't even think about it. How many of you thought of the amount of times that you inhaled today? How many times you blinked? No, it's just automatic. This is automatic, something that's born out of here. Literally. But again, Fred Price, August of 2016. Ignacio, a strong faith is born out of a strong relationship with God. Oh, from there. So, brother and sister Hughes, Ignacio and Nubia Hughes, they started understanding this. And they started applying it. And then suddenly, we were in a place of, well, we have to go because tomorrow we want to go to church. And sometimes we were in another state or in another city. Oh, but well, nothing's going to happen if you miss. Oh, yeah, of course not. And, so, and when a Christian once told me, oh, you're not going to go to hell. Oh, I know that. I know that I'm not. But I want to be there. I want to. I understand that sometimes I haven't been able to go because I've been preaching and I go this and that place. There's no condemnation for anyone. But what I'm trying to say is that it's not like a, oh, well, oh, glory to God. Father, God would give us something, perhaps through someone, it would go good in a certain business. Let's pray. Lord, how much you want us to give? Church. And a person would tell me, hell, well, you give what you want. Yeah. But I can also ask direction from the Lord. Because what if I want to give, for example, to give an example, $100, and the Lord tells me, give $500. Again, the Lord will ask you to give something from what you have, not from what you don't have. But again, he could start telling you, believe me, that where you can start sowing a certain amount, and then you start using and you are and operating in that faith. And the day will come where, again, God gives the seed. Amen. Again, it's all God. But then, oh, well, Brother Hughes, oh, well, I'm going to go to Alaska. Oh, what are you going to do over there? Well, I'm going to go work over there because, well, hey, to bring offering to give to church. You see, who was their source? Themselves. Did God tell you to go to Alaska? God told you, go. And if God told you, I once told someone, if God told you, go to Alaska the next 6 months, and from what you gain over there, I want you to give a certain amount in the church. If God told you, then go. But if you're going to go, because, well, as he told me, well, here, where? You see? Well, here, where in Douglas? There's nowhere. That's the thing. You don't know how to use that faith that's inside of you. Bingo. As that one song said, limón partido, dame una patada. Ah, no, era un abrazo. Yeah, es cuando te sientes incómodo. Ahora, now, Galatians 2, versículo 20. Verse 20. Perdón, mijo. Está bien. Sonia. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Notice these words. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, if it's Christ who's in me, and I become one with Christ, then the faith of Christ is in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, notice this, by faith, again, by faith in the Son of God. So tremendous. Now you're going to understand it here. And I got to take advantage of the time. Take you to another place here. I want you to be patient with me. Because we're going to be seeing two Greek words. They're right there in your Bible. Okay. Go to Galatians 3. You ready? Go to verse 22. But the words that we're going to see are in the verse 26. Galatians 3:22. By the scripture has confined all under sin, making the distinction between the time that we live now and the law. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ, again, the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Notice, again, the faith in Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to explain. When you see in the faith in Jesus Christ, let's be honest. It doesn't matter if you get confused or doesn't matter. Be honest. And I made this question to Nubia and she answered it just like this. She answered it correctly. And she understood the understanding of the question. What do you understand if I tell you faith in Jesus Christ? What do you understand as where it says here? By the faith in Jesus Christ. But what do you understand? The faith in Jesus Christ. Because we just saw by the faith of Jesus Christ in 2:16, the faith of Jesus Christ. So, oh, well, the faith of Jesus. But if you hear the expression, the faith in, what does that make you understand? Or how do you understand it? That's what? It's your faith being, that it's independent, that it's your faith and you're exercising faith in Jesus. That's the idea that it's given, unfortunately. Nevertheless, you'll understand it this way when you go to the original language. Continue reading here until 26. And in 26, I'm going to stop there for a moment. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Now, when you make a contrast between the law, normally you make the contrast between the law and what else? And grace. Is that right? You normally make the contrast between the law and grace. That's how it's used normally. That's how we see it. You make that contrast. All right, but now, notice here, very slowly. Notice how it says here. But before faith came. Huh. Notice how it would be the same. You wouldn't hurt the manuscripts of the Bible, but before Christ came. Can you see it there? It's the same thing. Before Christ came. Because what? We're talking about the faith of Christ. Or what if you say it like this? But before grace came. Well, we would understand it, correct? Yeah. Because you're making a contrast between, in this context, if you see all of chapter 3, it's making a contrast between living by the Mosaic law or living under the grace or under the faith of Christ. It's because if you understand it, this will change your life. And when it changes your life, when you understand it, then you will be able to change circumstances. But now look, notice this. But before faith came, or before Christ came, or what do you say? Before the faith of Jesus came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, or to bring us to that faith. How many of you know what a tutor is? You have to understand that word, not like a... But it was a guide. In that time, the kings, well, they had their private tutors who would teach their children. Therefore, the law was our tutor. Or, my apologies, where was I? Verse 24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Notice how in the same verse Paul puts Christ and faith. Understand that? And to not go, not being very repetitive, it's the same thing. We could say bring us to the faith of Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ in us. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Schoolmaster is used in certain translations. Now, very slowly, for you are all sons of God, again, for through faith in Jesus Christ. You see that? Through faith, again. The way that we read it, all us Christians, it may seem as by the faith in Christ, me exercising my faith in Jesus. And that's how it's understood. But not, it's not necessarily like that. Actually, it's not like that. I'll explain it. Are you ready? Well, you see two words here in the Greek. The first one is, for you are all sons of Christ through. You're going to be surprised how this word in the Greek is. I'm waiting on my multimedia team. You'll be surprised, this word. The word through, one of the definitions is this. By means of. Through. By, the word by. Or by means of. By means of. Also. Or by reason of. So why is this so important to understand? Why is this so important to understand? Thank you, come back to me. Why is it so important to understand these words? Did you know that my voice, you can hear it through those speakers? But my voice comes out, if I tell you, through this microphone. It would be better to say it's by means of the microphone and through the speakers. That faith is by means of. So we could read it like this. Read it like this. For we are all sons of God through faith or by means of. Yes. Or by reason of. By reason of the faith. Again, through the faith of Jesus. I'm going to continue saying it. I'm going to understand the error of how in our area it's my faith. Well, yes and no. Your faith because you use it. But, I mean, if you understand that it's the faith of Jesus, through, by means of, by reason of. The other word. It says, through faith in Jesus Christ, as we saw just right now. As we saw in the other verse, the faith of Jesus Christ in. So, as I tell you, when you read it like this in Spanish, in Jesus Christ, even in English, in Christ Jesus, for example, if you were to read it like that, it gives the impression that it's my faith, by my faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not like that. It's not. More so, it's the faith of Christ in me comes one with me. And now, this word here, very interesting. Pay close attention. I'll even take it in action sometime here. So the word in, same word, but it also means in or by. It could be translated by Christ or with Christ. That word is a preposition which denotes a steady word in time, place, in time and place. So Where is your position right now, spiritually speaking? Position right now. You're what? In Christ. From here to a million years. In the spiritual world, the moment that you are born again, be it that you die on this world or you spend heaven for an eternity, we are in Jesus Christ. So in other words, in the original language, from my perspective, as I perceive it here, gives me a greater idea just reading it in Spanish as we use those words now. In, by, I use my faith, this and that, for by faith. But yeah, but when you see it here, again, that same Greek word, in, we're going to see that it's a preposition denoting a fixed position in time, place, or state. State as in any condition. If you notice, in this time, you are in Christ. Place, the Bible says that we are seated at the right hand of God because we are one with Him. And our condition, again, you are in what? In Christ. Period. Period. Now come back to me. Religion hates that. You know why religion hates it? Here's why. You don't worry, you keep coming these few days, the study series, and eventually I'll reach the point of false grace. Eventually I'll reach there. Now stay with what's true here. Here it comes. Religion hates this. Religion hates it. Why? Because religion wants to tell you, no, hold on. Your condition. Because if you're wrong, as it, when you're in a wrong state, then the spirit comes out of you and you're no longer holy. You're a person of the world. Am I promoting for you to be in sin? No. Being in sin, then you'll give place to the devil and it'll bring problems. But we're talking about your position in the spiritual. Disobedience and all that will give lots of place to the devil. It's for your own fault, eventually, spirit, soul, and body, and financially. I believe. And I say it that way because, again, religion gets mad with me when I say it like this. But again, according to my opinion, which is the correct one, oh man. Because again, it's here in the Bible. If you truly understand this, again, if you understand it, if you have a revelation of this, you will never, like this, just as radical like this, if you have a revelation, you will never go to the world, never get cold. You will never be sinning on purpose, disobeying on purpose just because, I'm under the grace and all that. It'll never cross your mind. Because if you sin, it'll be of a mistake because, man, I messed up here. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. Man, I didn't realize it. The devil will almost have to pay you to sin if you understand this. Again, if you understand in here that you, in your spirit, you are a new creature. Your mind, you have to renew it. Of course, your flesh, well, this flesh will always do what the spirit says here or what your mind says. So if you're guided by your mind, the devil will speak to your mind. The devil will do this and that. Look at this and it doesn't matter. And that doesn't matter. Just one is never one. And two is barely one. And four is half of one. And then something will happen here where you someone will do some signs and then it's like, you're married. So, flash the ring. And then that one will wink. Do this. And you're like, me? Amen. And then, the devil is like, look, she's very good. Don't come here like, with a pure heart. But quickly, this faith,
this gift, this love, this grace inside of you will tell you, yeah, but man, you're a child of God now. You're bought with a price. And you don't need this. Regardless of how good it may look, you don't need it. It's a trick of the devil where you will think you have to say, oh, well, I need it. When they offer you, and then, oh, I'm looking at Christ right now. I'm seeing Christ. Eh, well, you'll know in here. Eh, hey, hey, hey. Hey. You'll know that grace will tell you, hey, you're seeing a demon right now. It's not Christ. I've reached the third heaven. You know why? Because you'll know. You know, because you're here and you say, hey, you know what? No. You're going to tell your friend, no, I don't need your Christ, no, your heaven. I have mine and it's a true one. Because you'll know. You won't have to be with, oh, it's because I get bored. I get bored. Oh. Well, no, you won't need that. You won't get bored. That's Sunday afternoon. There's nothing. Brother Hughes, it's because they cut my cable. Someone once told me. They cut my Wi-Fi. Like that. Just my Wi-Fi. They cut my Wi-Fi. I don't even have WhatsApp. WhatsApp. And? Well, I don't know what to do. Dude, I mean, just start spending time with the Lord. Make a cup of coffee. You go out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just like that. Something that may seem dumb to the human mind, but to God, it's gracious. You know, when I head out there where I live, oh, Father, thank you. The peace that I have here. Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, look very beautiful when I plant more trees here. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, how do you want me to do it here? How do you want me to place them? Tell me. Glory to God. Father, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Father, I'm going to take out my notes and go through what he was talking about of by, through, and with. Reveal more to me because I need to understand this. And you spend the afternoon comfortably, and then the afternoon goes by. Go to sleep, speaking with the Lord. Wake up, talking with the Lord. You read a chapter from your Bible. But it's because it comes out. It's not like, oh, well, I have to read 3 chapters from my Bible. Let's see. Like when you were in elementary. 2x2, 4x4, 8x8. They're like this. I'm the same. Righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. I did believe all those stupidities. It comes out of your heart. And it's very boring to religion because religion just, they want to feel. I want to feel that I am holy before the Lord. Brother Hughes, make me pray. But over an anthill. In August. They're like that because they want to feel like they did something so that they can feel worthy. They could say, oh, well, I've done my part with God. And there were some of those here who would say that, well, I came to church. I came on Sunday. I came by. I did my part with God. And little one, I don't need you to tell me where you're going to be going after this. Because, well, I did my part. And in the Sunday afternoon, I'll do whatever. Because I did my part. Get that language out of your head. Get it out. Curse it. Spit it out. Step on it. Forget about that. About I did my part. I read my 3 scriptures. My 3 chapters. And I did 50 confessions. I threw out about 3 or 4 words in tongues. And that's why those Christians get in so many problems. Because they do just little things here and there. Well, I went to church. They seem also very holy with their Bible like this. And a notebook. Writing down. did my part. And then getting out of this from here, I'm gonna see my porn movie. But I did my part because that's how they feel. I did my part with God. That's the problem. They do everything in just doing their part, and nothing comes out naturally from them. There's no connection with God. Hallelujah. Well, some of you are thinking, oh man, when is it going to be over? Very soon. Understand this. We'll help you. Very quickly, I'll share something with you, and then I'll share the Bible as well. For example, I don't know if you noticed this, but I don't see all of you, but again, here it comes. And then my wife says, oh, don't say that. But you see, some of you will come out here, supposedly to go to the bathroom. Some of you will go out even looking like this. Because, oh man, you get suffocated so much, church. You come out here just... Perhaps you don't see only... To get out because it's just too much church. Use the excuse that you're going to the bathroom, but then you're just texting there. Only flesh. Then you'll ask, why doesn't faith work for me? You think that you're just playing with the kid here. By the time that you went, I already came back 3 times. And then Nubia asked, well, why do those people question all of them? To finish off. 4 quick steps, and personally, I don't like formulas like this and that. Very boring to me, but it's the only way that I have in this case. For sure. I asked, Father, how can I help the people? You think I just come here and just, oh, well, he offended me. No. Thing is, I want to help you. The truth will set you free. Your truth. I'll give you 4 ways, 4 steps. It's because it's all one. The thing is, all one. But I divide it like this. So, and it. First. 4 steps on how to use this faith. 4 steps on how to use faith. 4 steps on using faith efficiently. 4 steps in using faith efficiently. I don't know. I'll give you verses right now. I don't have time to share. But first, you have to receive a revelation. Again, this has to be revealed to you. Revelation. You have to receive a revelation. A revelation. Of the unconditional love of God and the finished works of Jesus Christ. And you can say, revelation of the grace of God. It has to be revealed to you. A revelation, forget about, oh, well, people are scared or saying, oh, I'm going to be sinning, brother. And what do you want? Where I teach you just how to be bound? I teach you the truth. I'm not going to teach you how to be bound. No offense, but believe me, we're not the only ones. But go and search for some churches who will teach you how to be bound in this region. I teach you the truth. Because personally, I'm not with just stupid things. I don't need porn or be looking at women on my phone or on TV having sex. I don't need any of that. Jesus is my satisfaction. Amen. I don't need any of that. I have my wife, my children. My relationship with God is much more valuable than anything. Actually, when you have a relationship with God, you'll learn to have a relationship. If you're married, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your family, you'll be good ground. And people will start getting near you.
¿Cuál es la primera?
which is the first step. How to use faith efficiently. First, you have to have a revelation, an understanding of the grace of God, the unconditional love of God. And then I'll explain it step by step. I assure to do it this way. Look, I love you so much, and again, I'll clarify, God loves you more. But because God loves you, and God loves me, I love God, therefore I can love you too. Because if not, what do I care if they get it or not? As they say in the ghetto, it's all on them. But I love you so much that I want your life to change, as my life has changed. And I love you so much, just so you can see, that I detest preaching with notes. And I've assured myself not to forget that these notes, Nuvia made them, honestly. And I told her, love, make notes like this and that. Right? Thank you. Second step, because I want you to understand it. You have to believe that you receive it. Once you understand how much God loves you, how much the grace of God is there for you, you have to believe that you receive it. On Thursday, I'll explain this. On how do I flow in it? The next. You have to believe that you receive it. You have to enter into the rest of God. You have to believe that you receive it. You have to enter in the rest. Believe me, when you practice this, quickly, because you'll practice. What happens now is I brought these notes. I have certain verses here. Show them, but as I'm seeing the time right now, well, I won't be able to, but I'll share it on Thursday. The last one is this. So the first one is, you have to receive a revelation. A revelation of the grace. The true grace of God. I'm not talking just debauchery. I'm not talking about any of that. Actually, if you have a revelation of the grace of God, you won't be sinning. Amen. You won't sin for any of that. You won't want to sin. You won't want to be... You want to hear the voice of God. And you be listening to your conscience where... Hey, this is wrong, this is right. You'll know. And when you're hearing the word, you'll say, yep, that's right. You're confirming things with me. Thank you, Father. But you already know it in your spirit. Amen. Talking the true grace, not debauchery. Amen. Okay. What's the second? Did efficiently. How? You have to believe that you receive it, remember? Pray, believe that you receive it. But I'll be explaining it in detail later. Third one, enter to the rest of God. Okay, I'm seeing time here. The fourth one, I'll explain it right now. Let me give you some good news. Starting from what? This Monday? The ninth? I never know dates. I just know the date. To see the date, I have to look up my phone or ask someone. I just know the day. I know that today's Tuesday. That's how my life has been. Since I was a kid, I never knew dates. I had to go running. At that time, remember the calendars? Where you had to take off a certain day and then rip it off. Or those big calendars where you cross the days off. I found those harder because I had to follow in. And this day, the other one just... Take it off. But one time I didn't think. I'll share that story later. Starting from... No. It can't be on Monday because we're going to be Saturday. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Yeah, that's right. I asked which day is on Monday. Never mind. So is it this Saturday or next Saturday? Okay, well, I don't think it's going to be this Saturday. So it has to be the following. What day would it be? 14th. According to what I see. 14th of September. September! I feel like, you see, I don't even know the date. I'm a month behind. I remember last year I said, why are there so many cars with Mexican cars here? Someone told me. It's because it's Holy Week. Oh, you see, I didn't even know where we were, which day we were at. I only know when it's March or November when I have to sell my animals. Yes, get concentrated. That's right. My wife, concentrate on what you're doing. Oh, we already started. Oh, okay. Well, look at that. You see, you're right. I told you. By the time when you say, oh, my pastor is very intelligent. No, I'm not very intelligent. I have to depend a lot from the people that help me. Glory to God to them. And then we'll continue on following Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But that's why we started this day. And then we'll continue on Saturday and Sunday. Your radio called Radio Que Se Ve 113 FM, which in the capital of Chihuahua. We'll be in Chihuahua. Capital. I think it goes north. Forgive me, my brothers in Christ in Chihuahua. From there, the capital. But then there's another place called Sacramento, and then Rancho en Medio, well, in the middle. But it doesn't matter if you say on the corner, it's in the middle. So Rancho en Medio, Aldama, Porvenir, La Mesa, Rancho Largo, La Calera y Palomas, up to here, the frontier with New Mexico. And that radio has with more than 500,000 users. Just the capital of Chihuahua has 900,000 of its population. And with the percentage Pentecostal and Catholic. And I'm believing that they're going to change our schedule. So it's half an hour every day. Amen. Glory to God. Half an hour every day. Glory to God. And you know what? I'll tell you something. This happened. Remember what I've been speaking about money? This is what happened. Remember that I told you that we were in a radio station, a TV station, Christian, in El Paso and Ciudad Juarez and some areas here in New Mexico. Remember that I shared that with you. Weekends. And then we were in other stations here in Sonora and others here in some other states. But the one that was on that side, towards the west, which is a Cablevision. You know what? It got closed. So we're not there. Here's why. Because we were the only ones that were giving the money. The other Christians weren't. And we would pay on time. When I say us, I'm talking about our faith partners. Well, my faith partners from that side. Ministry. They said, Pastor, the pastor that we were putting on over there in television, we're going to send it to help with this one. So give glory to God that it's being paid for. Amen. That's what this is for. Which is why God wants us rich. Rich is not about that you have zebra skin underwear or something. But that's not the focus. Not the focus. God wants you to have good things. Yes, God wants you to have good things. But the issue is that Christians, and especially those in prosperity, which I'm from prosperity, but some of them, which is why we get criticized so much, because they think that we're just talking about having money toward having faith for a car, having faith for this, having faith for a house, and that's all the focus is for, to have this and to have that brand, this brand of clothes. And no, God wants you to have things so you can finance the kingdom. And so those new Christians can hear this study series from the first session. God is my source. Amen. That we can close multimedia completely. So whoever is helping me, Anthony or Diana or whoever's there, because Anthony and I are believing that someone else will help him out, because he says, I get off from the guitar and then I go there and then I have to come back here again. And then work and business and then rehearsal, and he's not complaining, but yeah, you know what? Let's believe for other people. But we use faith to believe in God, to trust in God. It can flow correctly. Because I was sharing with him, well, son, you know what? By the grace of God, you know, people that know us, and the YouTube channel has been growing. Not live, but in post, days later, all increased by the grace of God. Just last step, I'll share it with you, and then I'll explain it. Once you receive that revelation, believe that you receive to the rest of God, follows is this: renewing your mind with the Word of God. That's what we're going to do our whole life. But I'll explain it later, because it's all work.
Amen.
And all works. Someone once asked me about what I mentioned on Sunday after finishing. I mentioned, again, you know, sometimes I mention things and sometimes I don't even remember. Seriously, you just forget it sometimes. But someone once told me outside, oh, Pastor, let's see, explain it to me. Do you believe in the day that tithing is for today? I said, look, why do you ask that? By what you said, that you tithe, but you don't even practice it. What I'm referring to is when you're talking about tithing is the 10%. That's what tithing is, 10%. So tithing is something honorable in this new covenant. It's something that we should do. The difference with the law is that under the second covenant, it is not an obligation. Notice the difference? No? Again. Obligation in the sense that, well, no, nothing is an obligation. Praying isn't an obligation. Reading your Bible is not an obligation. Serving is not an obligation. Again, with the same point of, it's born out of you. But if somebody is new, and they truly want to honor God and they're grateful with God, then they can start practicing tithing. And suppose that someone says, oh, Pastor, because some of them have shared it with me, well, Pastor, my God. And someone once told me this a few years ago, because right now that I'm in a position where I'm going through some financial issues, I don't have work, I don't have enough. What happened is that person was condemning themselves, and at that point, it won't help. And he told me like this. He told me, I don't know if it's when I give, giving to, I don't know, the 8% or the 5% or something. And I laughed because I knew what he was referring to. I said, what if you do this? This is just something between God. But do you truly want to honor God? Feel obligated. No, it's because I want to. Well, 2 Corinthians 9 is a good place to start. 2 Corinthians 10. He who gives. And I told Nubia and I started with tithing, but we would also give an offering much more than our tithing. And this was years ago. Now Nubia and I aren't even worrying about if we're going to tithe or not. Normally we give more than our tithe. That's what I'm referring to. But once you give it because you love God, now you have to believe truly that God will multiply that. Not just give as to, oh, I did my part. Actually, you can know it. Some of you know it here. Perhaps others don't. Some of you do. Forget about, oh, well, I did my part with Pastor. I don't even know who gives and who doesn't.
I don't know. You know why? Because that way I can speak freely and I'll be saying, well, I said this for that person. You don't have to please me. It should be born out of your heart. You don't have to, offering, and I'm going to go to the bathroom now. No, you're not going to do anything. Forget all about that. I'm going to go out to see how my car is. I'm going to go out into the hallway to ask to get a series on the library. You think that's faith? Stay calm. Stay calm. Saying, Father, thank you. Part of this comes. I believe that I received seed. I thank you. Hallelujah. I received help. Seed. And now, Father, I thank you. Rest of God, hallelujah. Bible says that the seed. Seed to the sower and bread for food. And I want to, because it's born out of me. Do you those stupid memes that are sometimes put on social media where I have anything for myself and they want me to give. Stop acting like the world. Start speaking like a child of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That you watch over me. You give seed to the sower. Hallelujah. And you will start using that seed. Open greater doors. Amen. Stand on your feet.
Hey, it's good we came on Thursday. You're going to like it. Big circumstances. Driving in the car when you're on the road. Give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, because it's your faith and I am using it. I worship, I glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for your word says that you are always with me and taking me in victory. They seem like circumstances are over me, but I use that faith that is yours, that is mine, because I am in you. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians? Having the same spirit of faith. Having that same spirit of Jesus. Have that spirit of faith? Look, if we believe, spoke according to what we believed. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was healed. The Lord tells you, son, daughter, you're worrying too much. You're letting the world tell you what to do. The pressures are overcoming you. Right now I see you smiling, but there are occasions when it's not like that. The devil is taking over that. Say, yes, Lord. I repent. It's true, Lord. I close all door to the devil. Say, thank you, Lord, because you are patient. I believe that it won't happen again. But if it does happen again, because I open doors, speak to me, Lord, again, and tell me again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I declare by faith that I have ears word. Look at that difference. And we're not shaming anyone. But those prayers when you say, Lord, do something with your servant. I know I don't do any good. I know that I'm a miserable worm that does nothing. I know what I am, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. Give the devil more place. We're more conscious of sin, of disobedience. We're more conscious of our mistakes, and the devil takes that for granted. We say, yes, Lord, a worm in the dirt. we really believe in what we're saying? And asking for forgiveness from the Lord? Wow. It would seem like the Lord is saying, well, don't you stop this complaining now. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And just cut it out. Man, some of you don't like that. And you prefer to be told how miserable you are. But it's the devil. And it's the flesh. The flesh likes sin. The flesh likes to be miserable. Some Christians are some Christians are probably ordering a big nopal, a big cactus to hammer themselves. Yeah, man, just cut it out. Just give thanks to the Lord. When the devil brings those thoughts and you say, yeah, I know I messed up. I know I made a mistake. You cut it out. You tell the devil, you cut it out. Amen. From here on out, I hear the voice of the Lord and He will help me get out of this disaster. And the devil will say, you won't even... And you say, yes, in my body I don't deserve it, but in my spirit I do. And in my spirit I am in Christ. And the condemnation is finished. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.